You're about to hear the latest episode of the Big Inside View with Graham Hunter. Listen at the end to find out how you can hear the full episode and get around 9 hours of exclusive content every month. This one started with me asking Graham to pick his favourite goal for the weekend's action in Spain.
It's easy. I'm going to give people a clue. I'm not going to give it all away. I'm going to name Gonzalo Manuel Ganchincho Gedge. And nobody will know what I'm talking about because from now on in, everywhere around Northern Europe is going to be pronounced as Geddes. The Portuguese, I'm assured, call him Gedge. I'm calling him a boy genius. The reason he gets my goal of the weekend in this beautifully introduced new slot is that this guy transmits everything that we have the big inside view for, the big interview for. He gives you back your love of football in that this is a kid on loan, a kid who's still just 20. He'll turn 21 in November, late in November, and already he's transfixed La Liga. So he carried into this weekend that completely unfair but also unbridled sense of expectation and responsibility that makes you pick up a paper to read a match report, to switch on the TV, to go to a game, to talk to your workmates about there's a genius coming. Do you know what I mean? It's that you can put your ear to the ground and hear a train coming. It's the same with great footballers. And the internet age, I think, Neil, consumes new talent, kind of chews it up and spits it out much, much more quickly than was ever the case when you or I were growing up in the times of the treasure of the Sierra Madre. In that, you know, Mbappe is already an absolute household name. Everybody knows everything about him, and he's the golden boy. Dembele, I think his story is increasingly well told. I think he'll probably be second. I'm not certain. I know Mbappe is golden boy, the Tuttosport golden boy, meaning like the young golden prince of European football. And Dembele's case is probably diminished a little bit, given that he's picked up this horrible injury. In the 24-man list, which featured one of my favourites, Pulisic, at Dortmund, there was no Gedge. Not listed anywhere. Which is just a farce. Because he's lit up this season already with a couple of goals and assists. He's already, after the weekend when they played Sevilla, who are, you know, should be thorny rivals, but who are in the midst of a tailspin, who were clearly tired after having travelled back from Moscow, having been away in the Basque Country at the last weekend. They look and feel confused and tired, and yet they were holding out well. Their coach, Berizzo, changed Sevilla's setup, changed their personnel, made them look lively. They were containing Valencia, and I thought admirably, until the ball, I think the ball's played out from the back and Sevilla aren't pressing by Gabriel Paulista. Arsenal fans, remember, you had him, you lost him. And Rodrigo, the footballer who is very much a la mode at the moment because he was picked by Lopetegui for Spain, scored, has scored 5-6 on the trot, set a equaled a club record for Valencia, has with Simone Zaza been leading the line. His little, I'm not yet converted fully to Rodrigo. I think my worry is that the goals are masking a player who I'm not 100% certain is top level, but his flick, as the ball comes to him, pinged hard, and what he wants to do is just give a deft sort of layoff, a touch, a kind of billiards shot that you might get when you're looking to double up. And the ball falls almost into Gedge's path, but he has to take it from behind himself because he's running so fast. And he does that. He kind of just pulls it and flicks it around in front of him, sets off in a race. And the race looks like it's going to take him one-on-one with Sergio Rico. And because Gedge is playing with that joie de vivre, where a player, now it doesn't matter what age, but these guys who are in the zone transmit it. They transmit that feeling of, I can do anything. This is my world. This is my ball. This is my game. And you think he's going to run straight through, because, boy, believe me, he's got the pace. But he adds Ian Scanlon or Tommy Hutchinson or Eddie Gray filigree, because as he gets to the edge of the box, I swear he's almost allowed the Dane Carr, who's had a bugger of a week, I'd have to say sorry, pal, but he's had a Chocolat me Fleurde, which is a wild strawberries with cream in Danish. If you want to practice it, get the it's the Chocolat me Fleurde. So he's had a wild strawberries with cream kind of week, and he dives in because Geddes, while he slows down, shapes to shoot, and Kiar is buys the ticket for the whole timeshare before he finds out it doesn't have planning permission, and he's in there, he's on the ground, and he's gone, man, he's slid out of the picture. And Pizarro, the Argentinian tidy up midfielder, is there, but he's off balance because he's on his feet, but he's followed Kiar, and he's followed this idea that it's going to come off Geddes' left foot because he has a left foot. He's ambidextrous, even though his right foot is definitely stronger. So Pizarro is off balance. So when Geddes is cutting across the edge of the box, Pizarro is just standing there marooned like a lighthouse, can't do anything other than flash a searching light on his own team's deficiency. As this 20-year-old on loan from PSG that the Mestalla is already wetting its pants about. You know, if it was 1963, the women in the Mestalla would be throwing jelly babies that they used to do at Ringo and George. And Geddes sees the top left-hand corner, or Sergio Rico's top left-hand corner. And Sergio Rico's a tall goalkeeper, not Peter Crouch height, but he's tall and well-built and has a fantastic reach. And he dives full length as Geddes unleashes this shot off his right foot to the top corner of the net that looks right hand to him and left hand to Rico. And Rico's full length dive leaves him about 5 foot short of this effort that probably touches, you know, a coat of paint on the stanchion and post as it goes into the, what they call, we've always called the postage stamp space at the top of the goals. And it feels like an eruption. But you often talk about rocket shots. This one did feel like that because in golf, where you're driving, or let's say you're playing off the fairway, and you swing and you don't feel like you've hit the ball. There's no jarring connection, but it goes, you know, 250, 300 yards. That's what this was. The movement of the ball from it leaving his foot to bulging the net, it's going at a speed that seems to be impossible to achieve. And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous goal. They've been contenders this weekend across La Liga. If Dimitrovic, the keeper for Eibar, doesn't kind of fumble it because it goes through his Portuguese centre-half's legs, you know, the goal that Real Madrid score, when Isco sets it up, it goes Modric, Isco, lovely cross, left-foot volley from Asensio, kind of in there as a contender. But Geddes' goal was enough to just make you fall head over heels in love with football again. And when you watch Valencia's game against a host of best supporting actors, he's the Oscar. He's the Academy Award guy that you're looking for.
I don't know, Socios, if you need it after that description, but we'll try and grab a clip of this goal in case you didn't catch it across the weekend, and we'll put it up at grahamhunter.tv. It was, as we used to say, a total raker. So let's put the handbrake on for a little while and pause on what's happening at Valencia. And I think
let's start with him, Thorneil. I mean, you're right that there's a big old story about, and it's not, I don't think it's a clear and simple story either about the reconstruction or about who's been given credit for it, because at least one of the guys who should be given credit for it has been sacked. But I don't want to leave Geddes there. His dad has a phrase about him where he said he's always played 2 years above his level. And that is the litmus test. That I think it's attributed probably mostly to Cruyff, because it was a philosophy at Ajax when Cruyff was making his debut in 1963, that the idea even then was take a good player. It doesn't have to be take a genius. Take a good player and make sure that he's being tested physically and mentally in terms of his psychology and his ability to find solutions at an age group that's stereotypically, it's about 2 years ahead of where he should be. Look at Wayne Rooney making his debut at 16 for that goal against Arsenal. There are more and more, I think, examples whereby because, to coin Gordon Strachan's phrase, genetically, you know, people in advanced countries in Europe have changed in terms of the physicality age 16 compared to maybe what was possible in the 50s or 60s or even the 70s. But that test is one that, according to Gonzalo Gedge's father, he's been doing probably, well, since he was six. He made his debut in one of the junior Benfica teams, age six. His team won 5-0, and young Gonzalo scored all of them, scored five. Now, that's kind of Messi-esque. This isn't another Messi, but it is kind of, when you look back at that data and you say, well, has this always been on show, or is this a freak thing? Well, it ain't. And I'd go further to say that this is, for those of you who don't watch the UEFA Youth League, if you get the chance, do. Absolutely do. What you're going to see is guys that very quickly you'll be able to say, 18 months later, 20 months later, I saw that kid when he was 16, 15. I saw him bursting through and this is the first time I became aware of Gedge, not aware that he was this good. But the debut league, the debut season of the UEFA Youth League, which took over from Next Gen, and I was dubious at the time of whether, because Next Gen seemed to me to be doing a good job, but good enough for UEFA to subsume it and take over, and for Mark Warburton to go on and do what he subsequently did, because he was kind of the architect of Next Gen. So when Benfica finished runners-up in that 2013-14 season, Gedge is part of the Benfica youth team, and the first game he plays dictates his future, because they go to Paris Saint-Germain, and they pump Paris Saint-Germain. They absolutely take them apart, 4-1. In the French capital, and Gedge plays the whole game. It's a precursor to them beating Olympiacos, thrashing Anderlecht, drawing at home with Paris Saint-Germain, at which point Gedge scores. They dispense with the Austria Vienna. They then beat Manchester City, and think about that, with their academy, their resources. They go to England, they're one-off games. They knock Manchester City out of the quarterfinals. They then draw Real Madrid. And this is at a point where, okay, the La Fabrica, the factory, as the youth system there is called, wasn't necessarily acknowledged in the way that it is now retrospectively, for there having been genuinely a flurry of players that have come through and not only made it in the first team, but who are pivotal to the first team's development. So in 2014, I'm not trying to big Real Madrid up, but for example, the current manager's son, Enzo, was playing in that game. It's held in Spain. It should by no means have been a walkover, but it was. Gedge and Benfica go to Real Madrid, win 4-0, absolutely thrash. And Marcos Llorente, who's now a firm part of the first team squad, starts and plays the 90 minutes. Ismael, who's on the, you know, there or thereabouts, subsequently. Enzo Zidane, 4-0. And Gedge is part of something very special. They lose to Munir's Barca. If you remember, it's the final in which Munir chips the keeper from the halfway line. And what looked like a very good Barca side, although the majority of them have gone on to very little apart from the keeper, Fabrice Ondoa, who wins the African Cup of Nations and is now one of the backup keepers at Sevilla, Atletico backup keepers to Sergio Rico. And Gedge begins to shine then. The thing that I think, excuse me, is important about Spanish football, at a time when I know that not all our socios, by any manner of means, are either English or in England. But boy, Neil, the debate right now is huge. I'm sure we talked about this before. I really hope we did. That when we look at them being, I think, already World Cup winners at under-19 level, semi-finalists at under-21 level, I think beaten European finalists at under-17 level, and currently semi-finalists of the under-17 World Cup against Brazil, also third ranked in, I think, the world at women's level. So I think, is happening, that idea about St. George's Park, the change in coaching, the change in development, the change in tournament mentality. I noticed that England won a penalty shootout again to come through to this semi-final against Brazil. The thing that the seniors could never do, something is happening. And I say that because the debate in England at the moment is like, well, will the clubs promote the kids? And the idea seems to be, well, the kids, it's on the kids, is the responsibility is on their shoulders to prove that they're all kind of wonder kids and therefore they must be promoted, when that is utter bullshit. The idea is that the clubs need to go, we're trusting in McEachran, or we're, Jadon Sancho's gone to Dortmund, we're trusting in these guys automatically, and we will give them the platform over two or three seasons to prove that they're fabulous. And I mention that because, you know, that's 2014, in May 2014, that, pardon me, Gedge is competing in that final. And by 2015, he's playing for Benfica's first team, going to Atletico Madrid and winning 2-1 and scoring the winner, which is when he absolutely stood out. And Simeone said, this is a kid that I adore. So, you know, if we want to recap, two games in the youth league against Paris Saint-Germain, they spot him, they sign him eventually in due course for 30 million euros. But he has a right good show against Real Madrid. He has a right good show against Atleti while he's playing for Benfica's first team. He's a right good show against Barcelona, and they all miss him, Neil. They all miss him. Benfica make a lot of money by selling to Paris Saint-Germain, who at the time, I suppose you could just about understand why he might not fit in that superstar overloaded team where Di Maria can't get a game. But you can bet your bottom dollar that Emery, that the owners at Paris Saint-Germain wish that they had this guy now on this form, because this guy on this form would start for City, United, Barcelona, Real Madrid or Paris Saint-Germain. Absolutely phenomenal footballer.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
That's a really good point, his position at Paris. We were talking just before we started this conversation about a few of the players that Valencia have got at various stages of loan and purchase clauses. But make no mistake, Paris, this is a season-long loan and then we'll have you back. Thank you very much. But if you look at the players that PSG have got and the kind of positions that Gedge is going to be playing in, you can see why they loaned him out, you know, at the start of the season.
No, I'm not criticizing you. You're bang on there, because I mean, I think that once you've got, you know, up front Cavani and Neymar and Mbappe, and you've got creative players like Rabiot and Draxler and Di Maria alternating, Pastore too. There's nothing that Pastore does that, I mean, I'm not Pastore's number one fan because his lack of effort. He thinks his talent is above effort and work rate. Where this is, go back to, he's hypnotic for me. Gedge doesn't have any of that. You know, he can play, his actual preferred position is right wing. So he viewed himself as a winger whose, you know, dominant ability would be to supply assists, of which he's got five this season, from his, off his natural foot on the right wing. But this inverted idea of him playing down the left and cutting inside onto his right is also working. It looks very comfortable.
And he plays quite narrow on the left for that, probably for that reason. You know, he's off.
That's true. And that is true. And there is another reason, in that he can play as, if not an out and out nine, he can very easily play as a second striker. And he's very comfortable around the box, not simply in the way that you and I set up, where, you know, it's a counter attack, or it's not quite a counter attack, but it's a brilliant lightning quick attack. Attack whereby the Rodrigo flick in midfield allows him to run free as if it were a counter attack. In build up play, he can be quite happy in that sort of 9.5 false nine position too. So narrow is true, but he's also, I think he's more and more drawn to the penalty box as he finds that this move from right wing to left wing has proven to him that he'll be a prolific goal scorer. And I think he genuinely will be he'll be hitting very high totals. It's like, again, I'm not making a messy comparison with the skills. I'm making a messy comparison that when Guardiola said to him principally before the 6-2 at Real Madrid, I want you to come in and play closer to the goal. I want you to play in a false nine whereby you're in the pocket of space between midfield and defence. And let's see if they know whether to press you or not, because I suspect they don't know. That comfort, that ability of Messi to say, I like being nearer the goal, prefer it to being like a really set-up player 10 or a winger. Gedge is finding the same, Neil. He's finding that the closer he is to the goal, the surer he is he's going to score. And that will change his mentality and that will change his usefulness to Valencia, I hope, for the rest of the season. And he's been asked all the time now, will you stay? And he's saying, I don't know. I'm very comfortable. I'm very happy. But the choice probably isn't going to be his, which is what you were hinting at, because PSG would absolutely, they would need to be outright deranged not to immediately give him a massive new deal and make sure that he's tied to them for the next 4 or 5 years at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get that, and it's really interesting, but PSG have kind of got the rest of the season to work out how they're going to do that, because they'll end up with something of a tension, because they're going to have this kid coming back looking for a jersey that's currently occupied by probably one of the most expensive footballers, excuse me, of all time, and also a kid who's just had a season where he's been the man.
Yeah, in an ideal world, that's all true. But might is right. He's got a contract with PSG. They'll say to him, listen, as much as we love you, you're the player 12 or player 13. And you come on when you play in the cup, or you substitute when Neymar is suspended, as he is now, having been sent off for getting up and understandably had a clock to two, gone chin to chin with Ocampos at Marseille. Last night when the referee wasn't protecting him. I'm not a massive Neymar fan in terms of his attitude or his personality. Set his skill aside, he gets up, goes chin to chin because Ocampos has just chopped his ankles out from underneath him on the run. And, that will happen with Neymar. Cavani's at an age now where you're not going to find him playing, even if he stays, 50 games a season every season. Sometimes Neymar or Mbappe will step into that number nine role. That's absolutely granted. Mbappe at his age is younger than Gedge. There will be times where, he's rested 4 or 5 games. And I'd rather he stayed in Spain. It, to me, it's a dream ticket if he says, or guarantee me another year on loan, because he's playing all the time. It's not just selfish. This is a kid who needs to be playing 40 games a season, not 15 starts. So I'm with you. I'd rather that the situation in Paris Saint-Germain left him playing where he's loved, where he's growing, where, the threat for the national team is, as far as I can see, he's being offered Cristiano Ronaldo comparisons all the time, because ostensibly, although Ronaldo is one of the great goal scorers of all time, at Madrid, he's liked to play off the left wing, scoring from positions and scoring in a manner, cutting in onto his right, that Gedge mirrored against Sevilla. But I don't think they resemble each other greatly, except for in that Gedge already looks a more complete footballer. I think he's at 20, he's got far more in his armoury than Cristiano Ronaldo has. But what Gedge has come out and said, and been quite explicit and articulate about, Neil, is that the thing he models himself on in terms of Cristiano Ronaldo is, and his exact words are, dedication and hard work can bring you way above the talents that you've been born with. If he's learned that at 20 and can express it rather than just give you some, PR bullshit and salute the flag, Cristiano's great and I must copy him, he's clear about what it can do for him, then, whoa, sky's the limit, man. Sky is the limit.
To
To hear the rest of this episode, including Graham's take on how Simone Zaza got his groove back at Valencia and what Barcelona and Real Madrid got up to last weekend, it's time to become a socio of The Big Interview. Go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter, and for £2.99 per month, you can get immediate access to all of our archive material. Socios get ad-free and in full every episode of The Big Interview, The Big Inside View, and the specials that we produce, including, this week, a Q&A with Graham. To get that and everything else that we produce in full and ad-free, go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter.